if I sit on that pile of data, which is essentially gold nowadays, why shouldn't I use it to just dynamically personalize the website, especially in countries like the European countries, that just is black magic to people?
This is season 2 of the Double Your Freelancing Podcast. In this season, we're focused on automation, whether it's for yourself or your clients. My first guest is Franz Sauerstein. So I've known Franz for a while now. He actually has attended 2 of the Double Your Freelancing conferences, and he was one of the people helping with the now retired Double Your Freelancing Academy. So Franz has fully automated the way that he acquires, qualifies, and converts new leads. So what he's done is he's created a self-assessment that he gives all of his prospective clients. And what this does is it allows them, it helps them see exactly what potential they're missing out on and helps them come up with ideas that they might not have already been thinking about, which in turn leads them to working with Franz. And in this episode, we dive deep into how this assessment funnel has been set up. And Franz is going to leave you with some ideas on how you can implement something similar in your own business. And this season is sponsored by Drip, which is the tool that I use to power Double Your Freelancing and my own consulting business. It's also the tool that Franz uses. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're sending out newsletters to your clients or you're fully automating how you acquire and convert leads like Franz is, you're going to want to make Drip the backbone of your automation. So get your first 100 leads free. They have a free plan for your first 100 leads. You won't need to pay anything until you get above lead 101, and that's going to start you at $49 a month up to, I think, about 2,500 leads. So it's really affordable. And once you get it up, once you have it running the way that you qualify new project leads, onboard clients, and so on, it's going to become really an indispensable tool in your arsenal. So if you go over to doubleyourfreelancing.com/drip, you can get started for free. And now, without any further delay, here is Franz.
Thank you, Brendan.
So we're going to be talking, as everyone knows, in this season about all things automation. And I know that you've done a lot with automating the businesses of your clients, specifically a lot of e-commerce and other kinds of, you know, it sounds like predominantly e-commerce companies, but other types of companies too. But what I'm mostly interested in, and what I think most of the listeners are interested in, is specifically learning about what steps you've taken to streamline and automate your own consulting business. So before we get too deep into that, Franz, tell us a bit about kind of the business you run and how you started it.
Yeah, I'm running a consultancy that optimizes e-commerce stores. If someone asks me for my positioning statement, I usually say I take five-figure revenue stores to six-figure revenue stores.
Okay, so you basically do e-commerce optimization. I know you've done a lot historically, and we haven't caught up in a while, but I know you've done a lot historically with events and different things like that to generate, because most of your leads are local to you, right? Or at least regional.
Well, yeah, regional. There's the occasional Swiss or the occasional Austrian lead, but most
but
of
you're,
them
you're
are...
Right, you're in South Germany, right? You're kind of closer to
yes.
the border. Yeah, sure. Okay, so regional-ish leads. What has been your, historically, what has been your method or your approach to getting your clients?
Well, historically, it's the method of writing blog articles, of course, getting them promoted on paid social like Facebook, hoping that people will opt in, nurturing them, and after a few weeks or a few months, getting them to hop on a call with me after they filled out a form and qualified themselves.
Okay.
Of course, that was tedious. It took long. It was a pain to keep up. Well, it is still, because I'm still using parts of it. But what I've done now is, I automated a lot of the manual work in between.
Okay, so people read blog posts. They get intrigued. Yeah. They opt into something. What are they typically opting into?
Well, they're typically opting into content upgrades or ebooks or PDFs that teach them how they can make the store more successful and live the lives they want. For example, a guide with 23 ideas how they can increase their conversion rates.
Okay. And that's some PDF that you give them that gives them just general tips about basically improving e-commerce conversion rates.
Yeah.
What then? I mean, how you mentioned your end goal is to get them to book a call with you. What does that typically require?
Well, typically people need to trust you to hop on a call with you. They typically have some concerns about you, and what your biggest enemy in getting someone to talk to you is getting them to act. There's a saying out there that says your biggest competition is not your competition itself, but the client not taking any action at all.
Right. So doing nothing is the biggest competitor of yours.
Yeah. So it's about creating urgency and making sure the client understands that it's important to act.
So this is interesting because this is something I've been hoping I could talk to somebody about. Urgency when it comes to consulting, obviously, typically there's three ways to create urgency, right? One of which is limited supply. So oftentimes people selling, say, online courses will open up registration for a week and then they'll say, after Friday, you won't be able to buy it. I don't know when I'll sell it again. So that's one tactic. The other is discounting. So buy it this week and I'll give you 20% off. And then there's bundling. So buy it this week and I'll also throw in this for free. How have you found, what have you done to kind of create the urgency that actually gets people to say, all right, I'm not going to put this off anymore. I'm actually going to, you know, reach out to Franz and get this going.
Yeah. The three approaches you just mentioned are all on the side of the consultant. What I've did, I was thinking about, okay, how can I create urgency on the side of the client? So if someone opts in into one of my content upgrades, they also get a chance to do a check, to do a checklist. That's a checklist I came up with you on DiffConf View, the second version,
right,
actually. And that's been great. It's essentially it's a self-assessment of their store, and it asks them some numbers, for example, how many visitors they have a day and how many purchases. And that enables me to tell them, well, look, you have that and that conversion rate right now. If you just lift it by 1%, you will make that and that more revenue. And if you don't act in the next month, you will lose that amount of revenue. So it makes more sense to act now than to act 6 or 12 months down the line, because they will lose more money by not acting then, by taking the risk and hiring me.
So there's the opportunity cost. If they don't do it now, this is how much they're going to miss out on.
Yeah, it's capitalizing on fear of missing out.
Sure. Okay. What is this, the worksheet you give them, is this a PDF or is it kind of like an online form type thing?
It's an online form cobbled together by with Gravity Forms, Zapier, and Drip.
Oh, nice. Okay. So I assume you're storing that data on your end. So when you reach out to them, you can say, hey, so it looks like you're potentially missing out on, you know, $30,000 in revenue over the next 3 months.
Yeah. And I'm okay, of course, name dropping their store's URL and their top selling products and stuff like that.
Nice. Very cool. So what is that? Okay. So walk me through this. So I opt into your lead magnet. I get some PDF report on different tips and tricks for increasing or optimizing my store. Do I get the assessment with that or is that something later?
That's something later. Actually, you get the PDF report and you read it. And as soon as you read it, I'm storing an event in Drip that tells me, okay, the person has opened the email, clicked the trigger link, and downloaded the PDF. I then give the people a day until I reach out to them again and say, okay, I hope you were able to find some interesting ideas to optimize your store. Of course, we are all entrepreneurs and we know a day only has 24 hours.
Right.
So what is the most important thing to do? Get my checklist here and do the self-assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And the wording here changes according to what people have read in my blog or magazine.
Okay, so you're tracking what content people are reading in your...
Yeah. For example, if they're reading about generating visitors, then I'm changing the pitch towards how can you get more qualified buyers to your website.
That's fantastic.
If they've read about conversion rate optimization, I'm changing it to that. If they read about after sales, I'm changing it to that.
So you're effectively personalizing the emails that they get based off of reading behavior.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that affect the assessment at all? Do you change anything about the questions you ask based off that, or is the assessment pretty standard?
Actually, it doesn't change the assessment, but it changes the report they get after that.
Okay.
For example, there are some guesses I have to make about their store because, of course, the assessment doesn't have all the data needed to do. a good assessment or a perfect assessment.
Right.
But with the data related to what I've been reading about, I can highlight their problems. For example, you probably have problems generating high-value potential clients to your store.
Okay. So they do the assessment. They get back some sort of customized report that shows them what they're doing right and wrong. Do you then immediately try to get them then on the phone, or do you do something first?
They get a report and I pitch them on taking a phone call with me.
Okay.
It's a Calendly integration. So if they pick a date and time for the phone call, it's a 30-minute free consultation, but only for those qualified leads because they've gone through the assessment. Well, then the workflow is obviously finished and all the data gets pushed over into my CRM. If they don't take the phone call, I continue speaking to them.
Manually or automated through Drip?
Automated.
Okay.
So, for example, asking them if they've taken action, highlighting why it's important to take action again, reducing risk, increasing trust by sending them more of the stuff they've already read about. And I think that goes for 9 weeks or so.
Okay.
So it's quite a long time. Yeah, and after that, I just say, okay, it seems you don't need any help right now and everything's golden. I'm going to drop you here and close your file. And if there's anything I can help you with.
So you kind of do that that magic email
yes.
template thing. Yeah. Okay. So you're basically just kind of, it's kind of passive aggressive, but basically,
yeah.
I assume you don't care about your business anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna, have fun, have a good life.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you get a lot of response to that?
Actually, the Drip has only sent that magic email 2 times.
Okay.
As of now, and I got 1 reply, so that 50% response rate is proven.
Uh-huh.
And usually people get on my calendar way before that, like either after the first email or after the 4th or 5th, where I present a case study.
Nice. So what is that? How do you find, one question I have for you is, so you do a lot of education automate. Mm-hmm. You automate a lot of the education. So I assume I know you're already in a way establishing yourself as an expert in that you obviously understand how e-commerce companies can increase conversions.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving them tricks. You're going after the people who want that, not as a way to kind of say, okay, now that I know what to do, I'm going to go do it myself. You want people who are busy running a store and they just want to defer to the expert, namely you, to do it for them. How have you found the actual exercise of selling, namely getting on the call? Let me backtrack for a second. So oftentimes, if you just get a random, say somebody is looking for an e-commerce consultant and they Google a bunch of people and find everyone local and then contact them, there's often a degree of needing to actually sell yourself that goes into that. So when you're on the phone with them, you need to convince them that you're capable and really make an effort to do that. Have you found that because you've automated much of that away, that selling is now any different than it used to be?
Yes, I remember, there were like 3 steps or 3 phases of that kind of sales. When I started out, it was exactly like you described. People contacted local people, and then you had to convince them over the phone that you would be the right fit. That was awful. It wasn't fun, and usually the clients weren't really good.
Because they were just looking for a doer, right? Like they weren't
looking for a doer.
Sure,
it was hard to sell them on strategy.
Right.
So what I did then was I automated the process of answering to inquiries. So I removed the phone number from my website and directed all of the traffic to a form, which I had to fill out to send me an email. And it just said your name and what is this about, and I will get back to you. As soon as they sent it, Drip sent them a reply, I think, 4 or 5 minutes later. Hey, thanks for your email. That sounds interesting. I have a few further qualifying questions before we get on the phone so that I can prepare and make sure that we are a good fit and I can deliver the most value in that 25-minute phone call.
Mm-hmm.
That helped because it kicked out tire kickers. People who didn't want to invest 5 minutes of the time to fill out the second form. And it enabled me to prepare, and it showed him that I was taking the lead. And most of all, I was always the first to respond, because nobody can beat 5 minutes of drip waiting time.
Right.
Yeah, and that was the second phase, which was...
So even at 3 a.m, you will send an email at 3:05 a.m.
Yes.
Yeah.
That led to some awkward conversations.
Franz, why are you responding? Or, wow, I'm amazed you're up at 4 a.m. And
I'm a vampire. That's also why I can't come to your office to meet up. I have to live in my basement. Yeah. That was the second phase. And the third phase was, after I published my book, people started contacting me. And I included in my book, just like Kurt, a template on how people should contact me. Like essentially saying, copy and paste this email and just fill out the placeholders, and I will get back to you. And I also told them, well, you will get an automatic email back inviting you to fill out the form, and after that, you will get on my calendar. That's the best way to work with me.
What I'm curious about too is, are you using any sort of automation after the call?
Yes. After the call happens, I have a form on my website, which is an internal form. I open up the website, fill in the email information of the person I just had a call with, and they get an automatic reply back, which says, so everything sounded good. As we just talked about in the call, the next step is a road mapping meeting. Mm-hmm. It's one under 1.5K for you to invest. It's 4 hours, and after that, you will get a report. Mm-hmm. And it will come to your place, or you will come to mine.
Okay, so you...
Yeah,
I
think that's a form field too. Yeah, it is too, if I will come to them or to me. And then they get a pre-generated email telling them, okay, that's the next step. Say yes or no.
Nice. So after the call, how are you telling drip that the call is completed? Do you just have it go out if the call's at, say, 12 p.m. that you just have it wait an hour and then send it? Or do you manually do something,
yeah,
say, in the CRM?
I have no good solution for that right now.
And I can tell you what I do. So what CRM are you using?
I'm using Pipedrive.
Okay. So all you would need to do is, I presume you have some sort of column for booked call or something like that, right?
Yes. Just add a column.
Yeah, add a column called... Well, there's two things, and this is something actually I think that's pretty cool that I like to share, is I'm using close.io, and the reason I use close is with Pipedrive, it assumes everyone goes through a pretty standard linear funnel, right? So this to that to this. With close, it works that you have a drop-down list of statuses, right? So a status could be meeting scheduled. And then when a meeting's complete, what I do is I have statuses like good fit, bad fit, or no show. So if they're a good fit, I just, after the call, I go into close and just change the dropdown from meeting scheduled to good fit. That then sends that data over to drip, and then it puts them on the, pitch them on the next step, which is road mapping automation. If they're a bad fit, which usually that's not a thing, but if they're a bad fit, it just puts them on my newsletter. It doesn't do anything. And then if they're a no-show, it will automatically put them back in a sequence that gets them with Calendly trying to book again on my calendar. So if they don't show up, no problem. I'm not going to spend any mental energy trying to follow up with them. Mm-hmm. I just mark no-show, and then Drip will keep nagging them until they rebook.
That's great. I'll do that. Thanks.
Yeah. Something to consider. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of stuff that I think is, especially if you have, might not be as big of a deal for, say, smaller agency or something like that, but if you've got a big sales team, it's really nice when you can just train them to just do something like that, and then the rebooking happens kind of automatically and everything. But
Don't think that's the case. I think especially small agencies, which only consists of maybe a single person, mm-hmm. can benefit tremendously.
Oh, I absolutely think they can too. But I mean, it really benefits people who have high lead volume, I think.
Yeah.
But no, I agree. I mean, yeah. I'm one person. I did it for myself.
Yeah. Because it's just standardized stuff, and that kills unknown factors. And if you kill all the unknown factors, you just can calculate how many leads do I have to put in my funnel.
Exactly.
To get the revenue I need. And then it's just a numbers game.
Well, that's the goal at the end of the day, is making it so you just focus your energies on getting the leads, whether that be through guest posting or podcast appearances or whatever else. And then you have a funnel that books them on your calendar. And then also, so your goal is just to produce the content that gets people in the funnel and then show up for the calls, and everything in between is kind of on autopilot.
Have you automated any of the actual delivery of the work you're paid to do?
No, I wish. No, I mean, I guess the only time that's been true has been for selling more transactional products like courses or software, because that's pretty much what you're doing, is you're automating the delivery of the thing. But for road mapping, let's say, that's very personal. So not much you can do. Now, you can automate, I guess, things like the creation of the report. I hired an SEO consultant recently who did a full audit of my site using a lot of off-the-shelf tools. And it was obvious he had a basically a template document that had best practices about page titles or something. And then he had a section in that about, here's how WR Freelancing does page titles, and here's what you should be doing differently, and here are the pages that have bad titles and so on. But it's kind of like a customized book. And I don't know if you could potentially auto-create those, but I'm sure he just has a Word template that he just uses to do that. I'm not sure. So.
Yeah, that's like the minimum viable product.
And exactly.
Roadmapping is strategic work. Of course, that's very hard to automate, or maybe you also shouldn't automate that. Right. But then there's stuff like the organizational stuff. Like, for example, there are some clients where we write articles for twice a month or four times a month. And of course, I'm not doing that myself, because there are writers out there who do that. And they are essentially managed by a Frankenstein consisting of Drip, Zapier, and Trello and Slack, I think.
Uh-huh. Which is fine. So I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. I mean, I've seen people use, are you familiar with Newsy, the proposal software?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They have a report function where you can basically load in a template report, and then you can use that for your road mapping deliverable, and then just go in and treat it kind of like a proposal, right? I mean, if you think about it, where you just go in and you have the standard kind of templated document that you send people after road mapping, which has standard next steps, standard best practices, and so on. But then you can fill in the blanks for specific things that they should be doing. And it allows you to, I mean, it's nice because you don't need to spend the time rewriting the whole thing. You don't start with a blank canvas every time you do road mapping. Instead, you have the foundations, and then you can go in and add the specifics.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a really nice position to be in.
Yeah.
But cool. It sounds like you've got a pretty solid start to finish funnel in place leading up to road mapping. Guys, do you do anything after road mapping in terms of trying to get them, or is that at that point you just email them manually?
Yeah, after road mapping, I have Pipedrive and Drip connected to remind me to follow up with people if I haven't sent them an invoice in 3 months, or if I haven't had any contact with them, to be precise. And that helps a lot, because the first two projects, the road mapping and whatever comes out of road mapping, are generally the low margin stuff, or even the low revenue stuff.
Right.
And I've seen that the following revenue and profits are way more enjoyable than the first two projects.
Yeah, typically. sorry, I went on a tangent mentally, and they're trying to think through. Okay, I won't get into anecdotes. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
What about this? Last question I want to ask you, gaps. What haven't you done yet that you would like to do? And when do you think it makes sense to go? I mean, it sounds like a lot of effort in producing these PDF lead magnet reports that are, you know, delivered to people who opt into your blog posts, and then the assessment that you created, and then all the emails in between. When do you think it makes sense to start doing a lot of this, and also what's left, if anything, for you to do?
Let me start with the second question.
Sure.
Left for me to do is now optimizing conversion rates, because the funnel works, but it's leaky at some spots. And for example, I'm not happy about that I have all of that data, what people look at and what people fill into forms, and my website doesn't do anything about it. I'm eyeing right message since you've talked about it at the conference about it for now. And what I want to do is, after I've tested it with a client, because they have the more urgent need, I want to implement it on my own website and, of course, benefit from the learnings I get from that. Mm-hmm. Because if I sit on that pile of data, which is essentially gold nowadays, why shouldn't I use it to just dynamically personalize the website? Especially in countries like the European countries, that just is black magic to people.
What, that you can dynamically personalize a website?
Yes.
Have they never been to Amazon.com?
I don't think so. What is that? Is that a bookshop?
Yeah, it's a bookshop. Small little online bookshop. Yeah, well, I think it sounds like you've done a lot with just personalizing emails that go out, but yeah, there's always room. I mean, I've seen, it's not enough time, unfortunately, to talk about this now, but maybe we can come back and talk about it again later. But, you know, there's a big push towards account-based marketing where, you know, you meet somebody, say, at a conference or an event, you go and you type in Brennan Dunn, you type in your email address in the Pipedrive, you add some custom fields about, you know, he's in software, he lives in the United States, you know, all these different things. And then the idea is you could then use that information to influence now future communication, whether over email, definitely over the phone. I mean, that's the point of keeping it in your CRM, is so that when you call them back, you can say, you know, I'm dealing with 100 leads, but I don't have time to remember everyone's story. So in Pipedrive now, I know that he's in the financial services company industry or something. So that, but then there's also the automated ways, like making it so when that person is next on your website, they're seeing testimonials and case studies from other people in a similar industry, or the emails they get from you, like you're saying, are reflective of the kind of online store they run. It's the stuff you do anyway over the phone.
Yeah. The push towards account-based marketing account-based marketing has been around forever. A good salesperson just...
It's a video, naturally.
Talks to the person.
They remember what you've already bought and what you've done and all that stuff, and they take it into account when they sell to you.
Yeah. And it's just about making that information available, not only for all of your colleagues, but also for your website and email marketing.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, we could geek out on that for a while. But I think this is good. I think this is really good in just kind of giving a good overview of an actual agency that's doing, has a legitimate automated funnel in place that's getting you people to book on your calendar, show up for calls, and then ultimately buying road mapping from you. So first off, Franz, thanks again for coming on. And if people want to reach out and ask any questions about the funnel you've set up or find out more about what you've done, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, for everyone who doesn't speak German, the best way to reach me is actually writing me an email. If you don't want to, interact with my German website, it's just Franz at franzauerstein.de. And I will get back to you, of course, in English. Then we'll figure out when to hop on a call and find out how to optimize your e-commerce store.
You're a good man, Franz. Well, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
This wraps up today's episode from season 2 of the W Your Freelancing Podcast. And again, in this season, we are full focused on automation. So I know for a lot of, especially individual freelancers, the idea of automation just seems insane. Like, why would you do that? It's just me. It's just, you know, little old me doing client work. Why do I even need to think about automation? Well, if we've done our job right, throughout this season, you've heard stories and examples and really in-depth case studies from people who are like you and using automation to power core parts of their businesses. So I would highly encourage you, if you're not doing any sort of automation yet, well, there's no better time than now. And you're going to want to go to wfreelancing.com/drip. And get an account with Drip, and it's free. You know, that you can sign up right now for nothing. Now, they're going to charge you after your first 100 leads, but think about it this way. for you as a consulting business, 100 leads is a lot, right? I mean, that's a good amount of people. You're not asking them to buy a $10 ebook. You're asking them to hire you for lots of money. So, you know, if you were selling to hundreds of thousands of people a very cheap product and you hope that 0.1% of them will turn into a customer, well, that might be a little prohibitive. But if you're selling consulting, which if you're listening to this podcast, you most likely are, then 100 leads is a good amount. And then you're going to get drip for $49 for your next 2,400 leads on top of that, which for most consulting businesses in my agency back when I had it, we never had anything close to that. So it's a very worthwhile investment, especially once you start to do things like automating the way that you qualify and schedule new clients and then onboard your, or I should say new project leads, and then onboard new clients, and then maybe follow up with past clients. You can Drip can handle all of that. Once you get it up and running, it's just going to keep ticking and working on your behalf forever. So again, wfreelancing.com/drip, and we will see you for the next episode.